the inner sanctum.
Murphy, he keeps the Blues alive. That is a brilliant kick. He's nailed it, the skipper.
On his way to Princess Park, Carlton captain Mark Murphy.
Yeah, he just dropped in for a chat and he'll be doing it right through the season. The Carlton captain Mark Murphy with us in the inner sanctum. G'day, mate.
Chris-o.
Thanks for coming in. And you're a bit worse for wear. You've got, what, 12, 13, 14 staples in your head. And we're not talking stitches, Mick. We're talking the old-fashioned staples.
Yeah, the old genuine staples from office work straight in the head.
How is this gone?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I didn't get any concussion, which was good. But, decided to headbutt Rafael's knee, which wasn't a good choice. And, came off second best.
How come he didn't get charged at the match review panel for headbutting the knee?
Well, I can say it was looked at. It was looked at, and we thought, no, we'll give Mark the benefit of the doubt about the head-punting charge. Yeah, exactly. So the staples in the head, I mean, no concussion, so that's the great news, but you're also a little bit of crook in the rooms, we understand, during the course of the evening.
Yeah, I was a little bit crook on Saturday night. Didn't have a bug going in, but, just one of those things during the game, just got a bit crook, and just made it out for the start of the third quarter. Had to run through the umpire's area and get out there. But, body's feeling okay now considering. But, hopefully put that one behind me and get out there and play fresh on Sunday against Freo over there.
What did you make of the game, Murph, on the weekend? Obviously, the second half was really pleasing. You won the second half by 7 points. You're hanging tough, as Brendan Bolton said in his press conference. Yeah. That would have pleased you as captain, but also your teammates, to say that we have improved in a lot of facets of the game.
Yeah, certainly. I think the last thing you want for your supporters is to go down at a really heavy loss. And we were staring down the barrel of a pretty heavy loss against a really good side. But the boys hung tough. I think during the second quarter, actually playing some good footy. It was just our polish and turnovers that really cost us. And against good sides like the Bulldogs, you can't afford to do that. So we had our chance in the second quarter. We were actually playing some pretty decent footy, but just making a few little errors. But the second half was really good from a hanging tough point of view and sticking it out and only going down by 6 goals in the end and as you said, winning the second half by 7 points.
I reckon there's errors in a game, boys, that coaches admire in the view that they're positive errors. You're doing them the way you want to play. Is that what's happening in review, or is it just poor decisions, poor skill errors, and going against the style of play that Bolts is trying to implement? No, give us some balance to the argument.
We're going down the way we want to play. It sounds weird saying that, but they are, some of them are decision errors, but they're not going against the team rules. It's just, you've got a choice between one or two or three options, and unfortunately some boys are making the wrong choice at the wrong time. But we're learning from it week to week. As long as you don't keep making the same errors, that's something that Bolts is really big on, is you learn from your mistakes, but as long as you're showing some action and you're working hard during the week and rectifying that, and obviously rectifying that the following week and weeks to come, we'll start eliminating those errors and giving other sides less opportunities to score against us.
Mark, I want to go back to the pre-season, pre-Christmas, and Brendan Bolton comes into the football club. You're the incumbent captain, and he says and tells the football public that, no, I'm not going to appoint a captain right now. I'm just going to wait and see what happens over the course of the summer. How did you feel about that?
I took it in a really positive way. I think, like anyone who comes into a new business or a new organisation, you're not going to keep things exactly the same, and you're not just going to take it for granted that everything's going well or everything's right. So I think the way in which the process was done was really good. Gave me really good confidence myself that I was the right man for the job. The players wanted me to be captain. The coaches did. The hierarchy at the football club did. So I think coming out of that process was really good for myself and the other leaders in the leadership group.
How did he sit you down and go through that process? And I assume he did that before he came out publicly, but what did he say to you?
Oh, he just sat me down and said, look, we're going to go through a process. Like, he went through to get the job at the club as well. He went through an exhaustive sort of period of at least 9 or 10 interviews and over a long period of time, over a period of months. So he said, this is something that I think will be really good for yourself and the other guys within the club, that nothing's a given. We need to go through a process to find the right people, and they did that, so it was great.
Did you feel like there was additional pressure on you, in a sense, going through that process? Did you feel like everything you did was scrutinised?
Oh, I think the I've sort of learnt the external noise that you can't really listen too much to it.
But even internally from him, did you feel like he was watching you, everything you did, to assess whether you're the right person?
I think, I welcome that. I thought it was really good for myself. I reckon I grew a lot in that time as well. But Bolts was really positive the whole way through. He said, don't change anything, be the person you are and lead the way you want to lead. And I'm sure you'll be the man that we get picked at the end of the process, so to speak. Mm. And filled me with a really good confidence coming out of that and being chosen again.
Murph, I saw a confused player at the start of last year with you. Was your relationship with Mick Malthouse pretty sour in the view that he was asking you to play a role that I was surprised he asked you to play? Because I see you as a midfielder and you were playing more or less small forward for periods of it. How was your relationship first and foremost? And then Johnny Barker, who became the incumbent, there seemed to be a better understanding of what your role within the team was, played to your strengths, and there seemed to be love attached to the relationship. Is that a fair outside view?
Oh, it wasn't a sour relationship. Look, it was a really tough time for everyone at the footy club at that time. I was still in regular contact with Mick day to day and trying to work through things. I think the relationship that I had with Johnny was really good from my point of view, that I'd had a lot of years with him. He sort of knew what made me tick and had a good understanding of each other as well. And he really backed me in. Not saying that Mick didn't, but I suppose playing me in my sort of position where I felt more comfortable and had better ability to lead through the midfield, I think I really enjoyed that opportunity. But for whatever reason, it didn't work out with the footy club with Mick. But we're moving on to a new sort of journey and a new era of the footy club, and I'm really excited about it. And it's great to have Johnny still at the footy club.
As a collective, I think the group that you've compiled with your list, you seem to be invigorated about the modern game, about modern day defensive structures, for example. Has that sort of gave you another impetus going forward as captain, but also learning the game, which is different to the Mick Malthouse way, but also you as a part of the captaincy as teaching these next generation of players that you've got into your group as a part of your role within the footy club?
Oh, certainly. I think Bolts has come in with a really strong idea about how we want to play football and a brand of football that he thinks and that I certainly do think that will hold up towards the pointy end of the season when we eventually get there. So there's a lot of hard yards and there's a lot of long hours that we're putting in at the footy club. And the way in which he's teaching along with the other coaching staff has been fantastic. And I've really enjoyed the new style of playing. And I think the boys are really starting to come accustomed to it. We haven't seen the results in terms of getting 4 points yet, but we've been playing some really good footy at times, and I suppose I said earlier on our lack of polish and a few decisions here and there with the ball are costing us at the moment. But I think we can turn it around, and it's a really exciting time to be at the footy club. It's a really good feeling around there, and I think our supporters can start to see that. I think the public are starting to see a collective team defence, which the really good sides have got. So. It's an exciting time.
Now, of course, Brendan Bolton came from Hawthorn, have been very successful. When he came in, Mark, and put the new game style, new game plan to you and the group, was it a bit of like, oh, well, we sort of knew that it was the way the Hawthorn played, or that's the way he wants to play? Or were you surprised and sort of thought, oh, so that's how they do it? Was it that much of a moment, or was it just you're expecting pretty much what he delivered?
There's parts of the Hawthorn game when you do watch them, you think, oh, yeah, well, that's what we sort of train to do that. But it's not saying that we're trying to do what Hawthorn
do.
Bolts has got his own ideas about how to play.
Is it that dramatically different to what you'd been doing?
Oh, just subtle differences.
Okay.
There is things within the... When you watch Hawthorn, you think, well, that's part of what we're trying to do. But... that's only in certain parts of the ground, and they set a benchmark for a lot of things within football at the moment, the Hawks. So there's a lot of sides probably looking at them, but it's been a really, 6 or 7 months of a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And a really exciting time because you feel like you're starting to get the benefits out of doing that hard work.
Has most of the focus been on the team or collective defence? Or has it been, there's still been a lot of focus on the way you move the ball?
Oh, it's a balance. You can't just be all about defence. You need to kick a winning score. And Bolt has been emphatic in that message about it's not just about how you defend, it's about how you attack as well. So it's having that balance of both. And a really good defence will lead to a good offence as well. So it's been, yeah, a real balance.
On that point then, you're only averaging 8.5 goals per game. How's it going to improve? Is it personnel? Is it ball movement? What is it?
Oh, it's a bit of both. I think our ball movement at times has been really good, as I said before, with our turnovers. But I think our conversion has been really letting us down. And we've had opportunities. I think in the Richmond game, we should have gone, 21 points up early in the last quarter and missed a couple easy goals. Kicked shocking against the Gold Coast and did again on the weekend. We missed some opportunities from, 30 out on not too hard angles and missing them. So football's a big part of winning's conversion. You saw that sort of with West Coast in the grand final last year and a few of their games that you really need to convert to put pressure on the opposition through the scoreboard.
Some of the big key forwards in the competition are copping a whack at the moment. Travis Cloak at Collingwood, Charlie Dixon at Port Adelaide. You've got your own in Levi Casbolt. He's only kicked 3 goals to this point. Will he stay in the team and do you believe he's an answer going forward?
I think he'll certainly stay in the side. I think he is the answer for us. I think if you look at some of his contests, he's not out of form in terms of grabbing the ball. Like he's really attacking the ball hard.
It's a twofold responsibility, though, isn't it?
Attacking the contest really hard, but there's nothing better than as a small bloke seeing your big blokes up forward taking big grabs and going back and slotting them through the big
Absolutely.
Sticks. So it's not like he's not working on it. He doesn't want to kick goals. He's having the opportunity at the moment of kicking goals. He's obviously just not making them go through the big sticks, but I think it can turn for the big fella, and hopefully it turns this week for us.
Can he play in another role, Mark? Can he play more permanent in the ruck instead of Matty Cruiser perhaps playing 80%? Do you think he might step up and play 80% in the ruck, or has he been considered as a defensive option?
Who, Levi?
Yeah.
So we've got Andrew Phillips, who's playing pretty well in the ruck and giving his first use in there as well. So it's good having a mix of Cruz and Big Flipper going through the ruck and up forward. I think Levi, he's providing a huge contest for us and taking big grabs, whether or not he works more up the ground or not, up the wing. But I think he's had a few off weeks and it's been highlighted because you kick him out in the full or you don't go back from 30 and 48 and kick him straight through the guts. But I reckon it'll turn for him. He's working harder than anyone out there. Big Levi's out there with his bag of balls when the boys aren't there, and he's having a crack at trying to rectify it. And I think
helping him? Who's the one? Because I reckon Travis Cloak was in here last week talking about the fact that so many people, and he's got his issues with his goal kicking. So
Benny Dixon's helping him at the moment.
Benny Dixon, but so many voices in your head about, oh, no, you should do this, and someone else, no, make sure you do this. So many people have got ideas. I mean, is there someone that he trusts that's helping him at the moment, trying to get over it?
That's almost a problem sometimes when it's not going well for you. You've got 15 people trying to
exactly,
tell you this is how you kick him. So we've spoken about limiting that. We've got big Shane Watson down there who's an absolute ripper. Our forwards coach, he's working with him, and I think Andrew Walker's working with him a bit as well at the moment. But that's a problem. You don't want too many people having their influence
otherwise they get confused
and we don't want to confuse Big Levi, so hopefully he can start slotting them.
Before we go to our first break, Murph, do you scratch your head sometimes and look at the Coleman and say, Kennedy, Betts, Waite, the form they're in, they were at Carlton, where are they now?
Yeah, don't remind me.
14-8.
You're listening to RSN 927 Sports Heaven.
10-8 RSN 927 Sports Heaven. Michael Christian, Mick McGuan, and in the inner sanctum, the Carlton captain Mark Murphy with us, and talking all things football. Murph, wanted to just chat about an incident that's happened over the last couple of days, and that was the wife of Trent Cotchin coming to his support and getting out there on social media and supporting his man, and a lot of people appreciate that. Mick didn't so much, but...
Didn't like it, Mick.
Nah, I fought my own battles, Murph.
Fair enough, mate.
What's your attitude? What's your attitude if your fiancée, Jessie, and we had Jessie in the studio last spring when she was doing
Fantastic.
All her duties.
She's more concerned on the racing, Chris.
Yeah, that's right. She is. Yeah, that's right. What's your attitude to that?
Personally, like, it's tough because the girlfriends and wives,
they live it, don't they?
They live it, and they want to stick up for their man. Or but yeah, look, yeah, I wouldn't like Jesse doing that. But I'm not sure what Trent's wife is. It on Facebook or something?
Yeah, I think Instagram. It might have been Instagram. Yeah,
oh, Instagram. Yeah, that's a problem with social media. That everything you do, chuck out there.
Exactly,
becomes everyone's business. So I think, yeah, just keeping it all in house is
well, I think it's fair to say, Murph, you've lived it for a period because there's been criticism externally about your captaincy at times, and there's probably been times where Jesse would have done to come out and defend you. So does it get spoken about at home?
Oh, you certainly do lean on your partner, that's for sure. And she was great during, you know, I've had some tough times with, yeah, that sort of speculation and all the noise around it. And but yeah, she was, I think just the support that you need just being at home, I think is good enough. You don't really need the external stuff, but everyone's different, and it is what it is.
Give us an insight into living the experience of a coach being under pressure. Richmond with Damien Hardwick, Collingwood with Nathan Buckley, you're a captain. Scott Pendlebury spoke yesterday about we're all in it together. Give us your take on it.
Oh, look, it's a really tough time, I think. To be involved at a club, especially when you're a leader and it's not going as well as what you would like, and the heat's really on, you do want to support your coach because it all does come back on them, but it's not all about them. It certainly is, you know, part of the player's fault and the player's issues as well. So I'm pretty sure the Collingwood boys will be looking forward to getting out there this week and rectifying what's happening. And I'm pretty sure they'd love to play tomorrow if they had the opportunity to. So they can stop all the external noise and get out there and actually perform rather than talk about it. But it's certainly a tough situation.
Let's talk about some of your young players that have come into the senior team. I always look at positivity about what they can do, not what they can't, because I reckon they give boldness, a bit of vitality and also energy to the playing group. And the performance of Lachie Plowman on the weekend against a very good forward in Jakey Stringer is a real positive. He's 22, he was a previous number 3 pick. You would derive an enormous amount of trust and respect and reliability on the back of that performance going forward.
Oh, certainly. I think, Lockie had filled me with great confidence over the pre-season, just his attitude around the place. He's a big unit, he's a beast, big Lockie, and he's a really smart footballer, he's composed. To come off, I think, a game and a half of playing in the VFL and to come out and perform the way he did on the weekend was a really... really good effort, and I think our back line's really starting to take shape with some young guys down there, mixed in with some older guys like Simo and Sammy Rowe, Wietering and Plowman and Doherty. Got Casey Byrne down there, young Irishman, and Zaki Tui. It's a pretty young group down there mixed in with some experience, so it's really good to see those guys down there doing some good things.
Have you been surprised at the form of Jacob Wietering? Has that, from when he first walked in, has it surprised you that he just seems to have taken to it with so much ease?
Yeah, surprised a little bit because of how good he is going. Not surprised at his ability and what he's showing out there at the moment. I haven't seen a better 3 or 4 games of football from a young kid. In terms of just how he approaches the game, how he looks out there, he looks as composed as a tiny gamer.
Yeah, doesn't he?
It fills me with a bit of excitement going out there, running out with these young guys, and you can just tell that he sort of gets what AFL's about, and he's going to be a really good long-term footballer for the footy club.
Yeah, he's the man for the future, but what about the man for the now? Will Michael Jamieson get back into the team?
I think he can. I think he's got some really good attributes, Jamo. He's a really good leader. I think by his own admission, he'd had a couple of poor weeks. And I think that's a good position for the club to be in, to have some depth, and to bring Lachie Plowman in and to play a really good role for us is really, really good. So I think in previous years, we probably haven't had that depth if blokes that hadn't been going well for a few weeks, that you couldn't bring anyone in because there probably wasn't a lot of depth in our footy club. But I think we're starting to really build that.
What was he doing wrong, Murph?
I think we've been playing a pressing defence, and I think it's just a few instances he probably didn't press as well as what he would have liked, so it was pretty basic, but he knows what the formula is, and I'm sure he'll get back to playing some senior footy with us.
Now, Murph, you've got a big night coming up on April 29 at the Athenaeum Theatre. 4 champions are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, of course, including Scott Camporelli, Mil Hanna, Ian Robertson and Jack Rout, and that's all happening on, as I said, April 29. And one Hall of Famer will also be inducted to legend status on the night. Tickets start from less than $70 a person. Go to carltonfc.com.au to secure your tickets. Be bound by blue and sign up as a member for 2016. Call 1300-CARLTON or go to the website membership.carltonfc.com.au. And always great nights when you are able to honour former champions.
Yeah, it is. It'll be a great night. It's always good to get to those nights and have a chat to some of the past players. And, yeah, it's always a good yarn with some of the older guys.
What about this Sunday? Can you knock over the Dockers?
Yeah, well, I think I've been going into most... Well, every game this season with a good plan through Bolts that if we stick to our system and structure that we can match it with anyone. So I think we've shown in the games to date that when we do stick to that system and are composed with the football that we can actually make some good decisions and play some good footy. So look, it's a big challenge going over there. They're obviously under the pump a little bit at the moment, Fremantle, but yeah, we're looking forward to the chance of playing against some really good footballers, and I know their side's been down, but they're still a really good football club, and it's a good challenge for us.
Mark, great to have you in here, mate, and we look forward to your company right through the year in the inner sanctum. Good luck against the Dockers, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Chris. Hey?